So we are continuing our pathway to building Christ-centered relationships this morning. Last week, Pastor spoke about God's definition of love. The Bible says in John 13:35, people will know that we are his disciples by how we love one another. A few examples that he gave were Joseph forgiving his brothers, Ruth showing true love by being faithful, loyal, and committed, and Jonathan risking his life for a friend. We learned that truly loving people sometimes requires us to put our agenda aside and even forgiving those that wronged us, maybe even in the midst of the wrongdoing. Pastor told us that we must become unified in kingdom principles and kingdom purpose so that we're showing God's love that's sacrificial, helping others find the true love of Jesus Christ. He set a great foundation for the importance of healthy relationships, and over the next few weeks, we will be digging deeper, learning how to have those godly relationships. Today, I'm going to be talking about effective communication. There's purpose in communication, and we need to understand what God's purpose is so that we can show love through our communication. A few weeks ago, I was reading John 6, and God really impressed me as I was reading this. In this chapter, Jesus is teaching about who he is. He says, I'm the bread of life. The bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And of course, we all know who Jesus is. We know what that bread is. We know what that means. But I put myself in the shoes of the Jews around him, hearing him say this, and I can understand how they were confused. And then I think about the disciples. The disciples knew he was Jesus Christ. The disciples knew who he was. So they understood him differently. The reason that they knew who Jesus was and why the others did not know is they had a relationship with him. They spent time with him. They talked to him. They listened. They asked him questions to understand what he was saying. The others may have listened to him speak, and they watched him perform the miracles that he performed, but they didn't try to understand him. They judged him. They were trying to put him in their own traditions and their own thoughts. They weren't seeking to know him like the disciples were. Communication is about understanding, not just speaking. It's about building relationships, and it's all about embodying godly communication. Today, I won't be bringing a ton of scripture, but I will be providing you with skills to help have effective communication. We're going to be interactive today, so I hope you're ready. There will be chances for you to put to practice the skills that we talk about, but it's up to you what you get out of today. The first skill that we're going to talk about is active listening, and I will be the first to say I am a terrible active listener, especially when there's distractions. But it's something that I'm working on and probably will be forever. So what does active listening mean? It's understanding rather than responding. Most of the time when we listen, we're already formulating our response to what someone is saying, and so we're missing parts of what people are saying while they're still talking. And so to help us understand, I'll go over a couple key techniques. You can maintain eye contact and focus on the speaker. Avoid interrupting, which is my biggest weakness. Summarize or rephrase what was said to confirm that you understood or you're interpreting what they're saying correctly. Or ask follow-up questions for clarity. Clarifying questions are really good. The disciples did this a lot with Jesus, which is probably one of the main reasons they could understand him when others couldn't. He would tell a parable, and then later on they would ask, what does that mean? And he would explain it in a way that they could understand it. It's a simple question, right? What do you mean? But it allows the speaker to expand on what they were saying or give clarity where it could have been misunderstood. So we're going to practice. We're going to pair up with someone, and I want you to tell the person, it doesn't have to be a personal experience, it could be anything, you can make up a story, but the other person needs to practice actively listening, and then I want you to switch. And I want you to be able to come back and tell us, one, how it made you feel when someone's active listening to you, and two, how did you recognize that they were actively listening? Okay, I think everyone's had a chance to at least practice the skill. I don't think everybody could probably talk the entire time, so I'm gonna stop you. So would anybody like to share what made you feel like you were being actively listened to? Okay. The opposite.
I'll give a bad example.
I was actively listening.
I was trying to tell my wife a story, and then she said, your lips look chapped. And I said, okay, I don't need it. And then I'm still trying to talk to her, and she gets chapstick out and gives it to me. So she wasn't listening. Marriage counseling would be
That's not me.
Summer pathway. Next.
But she was looking at your lips as you were talking, so she was
but
like.
She can't tell me what I was talking about.
No.
She got distracted.
She did. That's true.
I don't okay.
Who else? Yes.
What it is, our sort of active listener special. We didn't realize that it was going to turn into we listen but we don't judge thing. Did you know that he built a ramp for his Matchbox cars, and he ramped it? You know, sent the Matchbox car and it went the hole in the wall. And he put a picture of it
over the. We'll deal with that later. How did it feel to be listened to or to know you were being listened to?
Excellent.
Yeah. Do what?
That I could feel that she was excited.
Yeah, being excited for someone. We'll talk about that in a minute. So the next skill that I want to talk about is speaking with clarity and kindness. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Meaning, our words have consequences to them and how we use them. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Your words and your attitude matter. You must consider how the other person will react to what you're saying. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." We should be using words that uplift others and not tear them down. We should avoid negative communication habits such as gossip, sarcasm, and criticism. We must also be able to speak truth in love without being aggressive or even passive aggressive. This is probably one of the hardest areas for Christians to excel. How do you speak truth without hurting someone? We'll look at what Jesus did. In John 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. We probably all know this story, but I'm going to tell it through my eyes. She walks up and he asks for a drink. This woman has to be thinking, I don't know that he's talking to me. Why is he talking to me? Because there's a whole history about how women in the time of Jesus was viewed, and she was probably very scared, confused, and hesitant to talk to him. I don't think any other man would be talking to her at that moment. She asks why he wants a drink from her. And he tells her, "If you knew who I was, you would be telling me to give you a drink." And he goes on, and then he tells her that he has living water. And so she asks for it. She doesn't know. But then he reveals her sin. He reveals her past husbands, probably divorces, and that she's living with a man that she's not married to. Long story short, he revealed her sin, but then he followed it up with a discussion on true worship and revealed to her that he was the Messiah. The first person that he revealed himself to was a woman living in sin that everyone else was judging. He was truthful with her. He was honest about the nature of her choices, but he was compassionate and he genuinely wanted her to understand what she didn't quite understand. And that's what God wants us to do, to be honest, but with a compassion and a genuine concern with others' well-being. So how do we have these difficult conversations? We have to get past the issue. We have to pray, seeking guidance and calmness. We want the Holy Ghost to speak through us. Then we must make sure that we're in the appropriate setting. You don't want to confront somebody at the dinner table with a bunch of other people. the setting can really make or break a conversation like this. As I mentioned before, understanding is key to effective relationships, so we must seek to understand the other person's perspective. And ultimately, we have to trust the outcomes to God. So now it's time to put this into practice. I have some scenarios that you can work through with a partner. You don't have to do all four of these, but there are options for you. But I do encourage you to at least pick one apiece and work through how you would respond. So the first one is about resolving disagreements. So you and your partner were working on a project together and your partner did not complete their responsibility on time. How would you approach that? And then your partner has shared a life event with you and they're very upset about it. And then a couple others that are more towards the speaking truth in love. You observed that your partner was speaking harshly to someone else and you can tell that it hurt that person. Or your partner's church attendance is becoming less frequent and you aren't sure why. So grab a partner. It could be the same partner. It could be a different partner. Daniel probably wants to pick a different partner. So. And go. Okay. For the sake of time, we'll go ahead and move on. Hopefully you were able to understand a little bit more about speaking with kindness. But the next skill that I want to talk about is nonverbal communication. Facial expressions, tone of voice, and body language account for more than half of our communication. We must strive to align our nonverbal communication with our words of authenticity. How do you feel when you're talking to someone and they do this? Or maybe they back away from you when you're talking to them. Or maybe they get closer to you. Everything we do with our body and with our face and our tone sends a signal. So we're going to practice our nonverbal communication. And I got this example from someone that I work with who had to do this exercise in one of her classes, and I thought it was a really neat conversation or a really neat exercise. So what we're going to do is you'll pair up. So somebody will have their back, should have their back to the TV, and I will put up an emotion, and the person that can see the TV will have to express that emotion with nonverbal communication, and the person with their back to the TV will have to figure out what emotion that is. Okay, so we'll do two emotions that way, and then we'll switch. And the other person can guess the emotion. Okay? So I need everybody to somehow turn to where you can't see the TV. You can't look at the screen if you're the guesser. All right. Are you ready? First emotion. Okay, that one's probably easy. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Okay, so now you gotta switch. All right. Is everybody switched? Man, Daniel's good. All right. And the next one. All right. So I think everyone was able to guess those pretty quickly. So that really just shows how impactful nonverbal communication is. People pick up those cues really fast. The last skill that I want to talk about today is another one that could be difficult for a lot of people. We're going to talk about empathy. Empathy is crucial to understanding and building genuine relationships. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep." Empathy is sharing in others' emotions. It's not saying, "I'm so sorry that happened to you." It's not trying to fix the problem. As humans, we want to fix things. We want to make things better. But empathy is the opposite. It's showing compassion and support for the other person. It's fostering deep connections and transforming conversations and relationships. So how can we express empathy in our situations that we come across? First, we can acknowledge the person's feelings. "I see that you're very upset." In some cases, we could validate their feelings. We could say, "It's okay to feel that way. It's okay that you're upset or you're sad," or whatever their emotions are. We could ask questions like, "What's been the most challenging part for you?" Or, "Can you tell me more about what you're experiencing?" This will really help you put yourself in their situation. It'll really help you be able to rejoice with those that rejoice or weep with those that weep. I know in the first question, first exercise, I think Sister Lisa got genuinely excited for Rebecca for her cruise. So that's showing that empathy. That's feeling what they're feeling. Another component of empathy that can make a huge difference in someone's life and really show that you care about them is follow-up. Checking in with someone a few days or a week after you've had a conversation can really go a long way to help someone feel loved and feel like they were heard. Empathy does not come natural for everyone. It's actually pretty low on my list of strengths, but it's something that takes practice, just like everything else in effective communication. So we're going to practice. This is our last activity for the day. I do have two scenarios, so you can each take one and try to show that empathy to the other person by using those, you know, asking the questions, validating their feelings, or acknowledging their feelings. Go. Okay, we'll go ahead and get back to the lesson. Thank you all for participating. I really appreciate it. So we've talked through why we need to have effective communication and skills that are needed to have effective communication. Next, I want to share with you some common barriers and how we can overcome them. As I mentioned earlier, it's hard to actively listen because we're often distracted. It's true that people cannot effectively multitask, no matter how good they say they are at that. There's often assumptions made, misunderstandings, and unresolved conflicts. So what can we do to overcome these barriers? We can set aside time for meaningful conversations. Putting your phone away while talking to someone sends a clear message. Giving them your undivided attention. Clarifying information by asking questions or repeating back to them what you heard to ensure that you heard and interpreted correctly. And then we always have room to grow. So identifying areas for growth, because we can always do better at communication. So to wrap this up, communication is the foundation of our relationships. Without effective communication, we will not be able to truly know and understand people. We will not be able to love like Jesus commands us to. We've talked through skills for effective communication, actively listening, speaking with clarity and kindness, nonverbal communication, and having empathy. As you probably learned through the activities that you did, it's not always easy and it does take practice. So I challenge you today to pick one relationship that you would like to work on and intentionally practice better communication this week. You can also pick one of the skills that we've talked about and be intentional on working on that over the next week. We can't master all these skills at once, but we should start somewhere. And we do have a few minutes left, so I want to open it up and hear what you learned today. Would anyone like to share something that they learned or something that they think that they can put into practice? Oh, Brother Evans.
Well, thank you. thing that stood out to me a lot when I was talking about going back and forth, so it was just talking about losing things that are valuable. You know, and I made the comment that I try not to attach myself to things, you know, because the Bible tells us not to lay treasures up on this earth. So I feel like that if I have lost something that is valuable and it hurts me, I probably needed to lose it. You know, I probably needed, that thing probably needed to go because I haven't attached myself to it. You know, so I've learned to let things go. I let things go sometimes to keep cash flow and stuff, you know, and I do that because that's just what I do. But yet at the same time, I have learned not to attach myself to things.
That's good. Hannah.
One thing was the empathy part. That's really hard to learn how to do, but we were talking about it in the class of school last semester. And one thing that I find myself doing a lot in those moments is saying, like, at least you didn't go through this, or like, at least this didn't happen to you. Like, it could have been much worse, when really all someone needs in those moments is someone to like validate their feelings and not give them this like other option that could have happened to them but didn't. So that's one thing like I have to be aware of and not do.
That's good. I think we do that a lot.
I like how the empathy actually ties to the active listening, because if you're actively listening, you can be, you have those deeper conversations, you can be deeply connected. You're asking questions, you're really learning about what was, you know, what that person was going, good or bad, what they were going through. And so I think that helps them. You're truly connecting. People just want to be heard and not just a, oh, yeah, I'm moving on. Or what Hannah said of, oh, at least it wasn't this. And you're kind of like dismissing your feelings because you're thinking about something else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been going off this empathy. I'm not good at it, so, you know, it's not one of my strong suits as well. But, you know, we play it like, oh, at least this didn't happen. But at the same time, sometimes we say, oh, well, listen to what happened to me. Try to almost like one-up them.
Yeah.
And it, you know, degrades how they're feeling at that moment. So
that's good.
There's a lot of times I'll say, before I start, I'll say, I need to vent. I need to tell you something. I don't want you to fix it. And it's like saying, hey, I've got a secret. Because they're really going to listen because you've said that. It's like the lead-in. Because you, oh, I got something to tell you kind of thing. And it's funny because it seems like it gets their attention when you do that. And it's true. Once I've vented out, then most of the time I can get over something.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to ask people when they come to you to say, are you needing help with this problem, or are you just needing to tell someone?
Yeah.
And then that'll help you know how to respond.
On that slide, you had that pass about how you approach someone, or you want to, you know, guide them or give them some criticism or kind of help get them on the right path. You led it with, you had prayer on there. I think that's really important, because I thought I was listening. I was like saying, well, but then I came back to what that prayer was, that first part of it, because your attitude and how you approach it, like, what is your motive in pointing something out to somebody? It's one thing to correct them. It's like, but what is your motive in doing that? I think with prayer, that helps you set right. It's kind of before you even approach them going, am I saying this because I want to tattle on them, because I want to put them in their place? Or am I really doing it from a place of love, speaking the truth in love, and not just putting myself on, I'm better than you because I found this and I don't be that.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important piece that we can overlook, because we're like, oh, I just want to take care of this, fix that.
That's good. Thank you. What about from this side of the room?
I have a thought. They were listening. I have a thought that I shared with my coworkers a long time ago. When you vent and you say that, as Sister Blevin says, then you get it out there, you can look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my perspective.
That's true. Anything else? Yes.
I think with the different personality types, it comes more naturally for some people to have empathy, and some people need to practice it more. As we were kind of talking about that, because our personalities can be more different, really. But, you know, you have to force yourself to practice empathy. That's just something I was thinking about while we were talking about it. Because different personality types, you won't naturally, you know, have empathy. So
that's true. Yes.
So just with what all, most of you are aware, the Tangren for situation,
What I have noticed and what has become very obvious to me is that in our daily lives, we pass people throughout our day, right? People we don't know. They may look as though they have a straight face, if you observe them, you think their life is great, right? But what we don't realize what is going on the inside. Mm-hmm. Last night, leaving the hospital late last night, in the elevator, I got to speak to a lady, and we walked out of the hospital together. And when we made it to the parking lot, she had told me that her mom, the doctors had tried to convince her to pull the plug on her mom. Her mom is now at home.
Wow.
Her brother had a stroke, and he's at Select Specialty right now. And in that parking lot last night, I asked her if I could pray with her. And just prayer, as you said, Sister Sims, prayer being at the top of that list. Praying with someone is such, prayer in of itself is an honor and a privilege that we as God's children have the honor to do. And taking the moment to pray with someone that is in a time of need. As soon as I mentioned the word, "Can I pray with you?" tears began flowing down her face. And so sometimes, even when we're going through something ourselves, that is really what it's about. It is setting self aside and looking at the need of others.
And I think in that situation, it could have been really easy for you to be distracted in that elevator and had casual conversation with the person, but been distracted by what was happening in your situation and miss out on the opportunity for that prayer.
The longer you go through a trial, the more God refines you, the more God gets you to the place that you're not just looking at self.
Yeah.
Because flesh is selfish. It's setting yourself aside and looking at the needs of others.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's just a good, quite the lesson, but with the Sister Lisa was talking about the prayer, it just kind of hits you that I was talking with Emily before this. She was like getting ready to teach downstairs in her lesson, and I said, "So you're sharing God's word like it's never going to return void. So you do what you need to say, and God's going to make it work in everyone's ears." And she smiled or whatever, but. When Sister Lisa was talking about that, I feel like prayer is that thing of going, we may feel, it's such a way to connect with somebody. When we pray, when I say, "Can I pray with you?" It's God, you're like saying, you want God just to move in that situation. It's not about me. And it just really struck me as she was saying that, just how you're opening up, like, God, this is a situation I want you to be in right now. You're, you know, the communication, you're actively listening, you're being connected, you're showing empathy. And you're kind of opening this portal, like, God, come right into this little situation right now when two or three are gathered. And it was so powerful thinking about how just God moved, like speaking God's word and letting him move that moment. Mm-hmm.
And I was able to ask her if she went to church anywhere, because I witness correctly everywhere I go. And it was an opportunity for me to talk to her about Christ.
So, anything else that anyone would point out from today's lesson, or even something you reflected on from last week's lesson?
One thing that jumped out to me was talking about empathy, talking about asking questions, talking back stuff. And I know that I've been guilty before myself, even listening to somebody talk, and then while they're talking, you're like trying to get away, you know, and they really need somebody to talk to, you know, and then, but I'm just being honest. I'm transparent, but I've been guilty, you know. And you ask questions back, you know, start speaking back into their situation, because really what's going on is there's something inside of them that is pouring out, that is crying out, you know, to you, you know. And I just think that we just take more time for each other, you know, listen and dig into the conversation to show, you know, value.
I think I've got a couple of things. One, I say something about Paul.
Right.
You know, being an effective listener, it helps. Brother Paul, I've listened to him before more times than one, But when somebody walks up for prayer, the first thing most of the time on his face is a smile. Mm-hmm. No. The second thing is usually he asks the question of what the people need. Okay. The third thing, he assures them that God's going to do what they need to do. Those three things make it possible. In other words, it brings faith and it brings belief and it brings whatever needs to be in that. And I think God can use that. The second, though, one of the hardest things to do that I've tried to do is talk with people that I'm not comfortable with. You know, as a man, and sometimes it's hard to talk to a woman because the flesh automatically intervenes and they feel uncomfortable. But, you know, if you're going to be in God's kingdom, you've got to learn to, or I think I have, I've got to learn to talk to people that I don't feel real comfortable talking to, male, female, or whatever, because I think it's important, because I think sometimes it was just like, I was sitting here on the front seat, and I had nobody to talk to, and you said something, I said, well, I don't hear well, so I don't, Paul, back, pat me on the back and said, you want to join us? You know, that is a skill, and that is something that we all need to use in the church. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of people that come to church that nobody hardly speaks to. I know Sister Pam does, because I notice those people are always close to her. You know why? Because she takes time for them and she speaks to them. I don't mean to brag on nobody.
That's good. Yeah. We got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to talk to others. We have a couple more minutes. Anything else? Hannah.
Real quick. I know you talked about like clarity and attitude, but I think it's really important to remember your tone whenever you're communicating. Like a lot of times, everybody, I feel like, has their own opinion and they're entitled to that. And you may have a really good message to say, but the way you say it matters a whole lot. And that's hard, like, sending texts and stuff, but whenever you're face-to-face communication, that's where those nonverbal skills come in, and you have to be able to utilize those to really make sure your tone is correct. And prayer, if you pray before you conversate with someone, then you know what your tone is going to be, and God's able to help you get your message across, and he'll make sure it doesn't fall on deaf ears and that you're able to really communicate what you want to. Awesome.
That's good.
I know. I just want to say, that is a young person.
That is a young person.
I said to her, how old is she? That's
18.
And lots of death does lie.
Yes, it does. Anything else? All right, well, we will close with prayer, and then we will be done. Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for giving us grace when we don't handle relationships the way we should. Thank you for providing the guidance through your word and resources to make us better. Lord, help us to build healthy relationships through effective communication. You know our weaknesses better than we do. Show us where we need to focus and be intentional with our communication. Help us, Lord, to show your love in every interaction that we have through our words and our actions. Help us put ourselves aside to help others and draw others closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So thank you for joining your class today. Next week, Sister Angie Sims will be speaking, and you won't want to miss it.
She hopes you do.